Please remember this is an adults-only podcast and does contain some very sensual themes. So please, only listen to this podcast if you are happy to explore your deepest sensual fantasies with me and are of a suitable age. Hi, it's Devlin, and welcome to another episode of Wild in Bed. You can know that this is your destination for salacious and erotic stories, sensual satisfaction, and finger-licking good fantasies. Now, as you enjoy tonight's chapter reading, From Lamb to the Slaughter, you can know that you can go ahead and enjoy even more intense pleasure and unlimited satisfaction by coming to see me at wilddesires.com. You can test ride your own fantasies, all for free. And just for coming, you can know this podcast is best enjoyed laying on your bed. Just put your earbuds in, close your eyes, and surrender to the pleasure of my voice. Caressing, touching, moving over you. For the next 30 minutes or so, it's just you and my voice. This is your time to relax, your time for sensuous satisfaction, your time to release that inner woman. As you listen to my voice and surrender to the story moving over your body. So when you're ready, just take a deep breath and hold it for a moment. Let it go with a sigh, letting go of any tension, any stress, as you enjoy Lamb to the Slaughter, Chapter 14. Diane. Sleep comes fitfully through the night. An emptiness has filled me since I left my office. The career I have always wanted seems to somehow be slipping through my fingers. For the first time in my life, I feel truly alone while driving to CNE through a haze of confusion. I really can't say how long it takes before I arrive. Maybe 20 minutes, maybe an hour. The dark clouds of last night stubbornly refuse to leave. Their gloomy hue as dark as my mood. I have to make this work for Joseph now, to stand a chance of regaining my position. And this means one thing. My future is in the hands of Dominic Deleur, a man I don't trust or even completely know. The rain from the previous night glistens like tiny pearls on the ivy as the morning sun rises. Little diamonds hanging from emerald green leaves. As I pull into the parking area, the low rumble of gravel heralds my arrival. Not comfortable leaving the security of my car just yet, I take a moment to gather my thoughts and think of a plausible excuse that might get past Dominic and his blasted intuition. I don't want Dominic to get an idea of what is happening yet. Somehow, I need to ensure that I am around here pretty much all the time. An enthusiastic rapping of knuckles on the window shatters my train of thought. And I look up to a grinning Rachel staring down at me. "Are you okay, Miss Hightower?" she asks as I lower the window. "Mr. Deleur was a little concerned." "Concerned? How long have I been here?" "Yes, Rachel, I'm fine, thank you." Well, I think on the fly, I leave the sanctuary of my car and follow Rachel into the entrance hall, watching her skip up the steps and wondering what the hell this girl is on. "You remember the way to his office, Miss Hightower?" "Yes, yes I do, Rachel. And please call me Diane." "Okay, Diane. I'll bring your coffee and cookies up shortly." Another skip and she disappears through the reception door, with every step I take reminding me of my sudden lack of enthusiasm for life. I approach Dominic's door and start wondering where it went. Of course, Judge Halland hasn't helped any. but I must have had Rachel's unrelenting energy once, hadn't I? I take a deep breath to steady myself as I raise my hand to knock. Still no idea what reason I can use. This really will be on the fly. Come, Miss Hightower. Fuck, I can feel that all the way through my body. I so wish he hadn't said that. And furthermore, why does he say that? Is it deliberate, intentional? Shit, can this man read my thoughts? Reminding myself I'm here for my career, and more importantly, Joseph. I push my shoulders back, take a deep breath, and regain what little composure I have left. Once I enter, the office is shrouded in gloom and darkness, as it has been on my previous visits. One of the shadows detaches itself from the others and moves gracefully toward me, entering the light. The arctic cold shine of Dominic's eyes glow before I see anything else, and, as always, I feel his presence in every square inch of my body. Suddenly lost within that familiar woodsy scent, the bright blue of his gaze, and the anticipation of hearing his baritone voice speak. He reaches out a hand and guides me to a seat, then settles across from me. The creak of him settling onto the sofa inundating me with questions about that mask. What scars are beneath it? Are they on both sides of his face? Are they really so extensive that he needs his mask? Of course, I read the report on the accident, and the trials of the extended treatment afterwards. But still curiosity burns through my brain. An intense desire to know, to learn his pain, to understand his agony, to soothe, to stroke, to calm. Jesus, chill out, Diane. To save you time, Miss Hightower, and the obvious stress of trying to think of excuses why you need to be here more frequently. He says in his honeyed baritone voice that affects me way more than I want it to. Let me begin by saying I have spoken to Bob this morning, and he has explained everything. It might be worth remembering that I have worked with the prosecution department for more than 10 years now. We have always approached the relationship as mutually beneficial. So please don't think I don't want to see Joseph be a successful case any less than you. Every single word he speaks finds its way to my most sensitive spots. Fucking fuck. Okay, Mr. Delure. I respond softly, inhaling another whiff of his delicious scent. Obviously, given the importance of the matter, I just want to make sure Joseph is in the best place for him and for the state. He studies me for a long minute, the blue of his eyes gleaming with intelligence and influence. Agreed, Miss Hightower. So let us approach this with transparency. I will always be straightforward with you. And I only ask that you are, in return, straightforward with me. We stare at each other for another moment, and I suddenly realize my eyes haven't moved from his lips. God, he must notice the way I can't look away from him. He has way too great of an effect on me, and I'm not sure that's a positive thing, or a safe one. I clear my throat and utter a soft, agreed, trying desperately to refocus my mind back onto Joseph, and away from those lips, those eyes, both of which I can't stop visualizing being firmly between my thighs. So tell me about Joseph's induction plan for today. Before I do, I would like to apologize for the way Judge Halland has treated you. He has always been very negative about my work, and I feel you may have been targeted, at least partially because of that. Judge Halland is a frightened, fragile sheep, and unfortunately, those types of sheep don't usually make the best decisions to make life easier for you. I have had the office next door cleared so it will be at your full disposal, day and night. So Something about the way he says night floods my body with another shudder of desire. A full night with this man. God, what would that feel like? To feel his body against me. To listen to his deep breaths. To have his baritone voice whispering against my neck. To slide the damn mask from his face and brush my fingertips over his scars. Today, he continues, Joseph will be hypnotized. I find that most of my children have unresolved issues in their past. And something called timeline therapy is a very quick and effective way to remove the emotional sting from that. We may not go into a full therapy session today, as it really depends on how Joseph reacts. But we will make a start and get an insight into what has caused his current challenges. His tongue brushes over his bottom lip and he takes a deep breath. I have taken the liberty of discussing your role with him and let him know that you're only here to make sure he is looked after correctly. He has agreed that you can sit in on this session. From your point of view, you will probably find some useful insights into where Joseph is coming from. Are you happy to sit in on that session, Ms. Hightower? Yes, of course. Good. Then I only ask that you don't say anything during the session. His mind will be open to suggestion and, as you know, that can have surprising results. For a moment, I have to remind myself that this is the same man that was holding my clit and commanding me not to orgasm just a few hours ago. He's being friendly, even companionable and sensitive. But apart from the deeply erotic undertones to his voice, he's being nothing but professional. It's as if nothing ever happened between us. When Rachel brings your coffee, I will ask her to fetch Joseph, and we can begin. As if on cue, there is an overly excited knock at the door, and I immediately feel her enthusiasm through the wood. Come, Rachel. He says in that deep tone of voice, which makes me wonder if that single word has ever brought her to the brink of orgasm, as it has me. The door swings open. As always, she skips, not walks, across the room, balancing a silver tray on one hand. Good Lord, how the hell does she skip with a tray and not spill anything? I know full well if I tried that, the walls would have a new shade of decoration. Maybe working for Dominic and hearing his voice 100 times a day makes her skip. I think teasingly. It very well might make me as well. Either that or curl up in a ball and beg for mercy. I'm still smiling at the thought when he says, Rachel, could you bring Joseph Shoresh up for his induction session? He is probably in the common room.
Sure thing, Mr. Delore.
She responds with a smile as she closes the door. Drink your coffee, Miss Hightower, and savour some of Rachel's cookies. I assure you that she's longing to know how they feel in your mouth. He adds with a slight bend of his lips. He's doing this deliberately. He damn well is. How the hell am I meant to function when all my mind is occupied with his him and the carnal delights he might offer? I take a bite of the cookie and have to admit it's more than good. And really does melt on my tongue with all the promise of buttery deliciousness he mentioned. Thankfully, I can only manage two before Rachel returns, and suspect that my hips might never forgive me for working in this place. Come. Dominic stands to greet Joseph, his voice softening, becoming lighter. Joseph lights up as he sees Dominic, a beautiful smile radiating across his young face. Joseph, thank you for coming. He looks my direction for a quick instant. This is Diane, who you've already met. She's kindly agreed to sit in on your induction session.
Hi, Joseph, I say softly. It's a pleasure to get to spend some time with you.
I try my best to sound friendly and non-threatening.
although I've been involved with children's cases most of my professional life. I have never actually spent much time around them on an informal basis. The young boy's smile fades, not quite leaving his face, but certainly diminishing. His look now is a veil of suspicion, and suddenly I feel for all the world like Cruella de Vil, and have absolutely no idea why. Joseph reaches into his back pocket and takes out a coin. I can't see what type, but he starts rubbing it between his thumb and finger. "What's that, Joseph?" Keeping my voice as gentle as possible, I do my best to build some bridges into the darkness that surrounds him. "It's my lucky pestle, Miss Hightower. It's all I have left from home. My mum said it would bring me good luck. As long as I have hold of it, I will never get hurt." Realization stabs at me that Joseph thinks he needs to hold his lucky peso when speaking to me, as if I might cause him some pain. I swallow at the lump in my throat and feel my eyes beginning to burn as I try to come up with the right response. Dominic fortunately senses the tension in Joseph and in me and automatically cuts through it with a cheerful tone that somehow seems unattached to him. The man never ceases to amaze me. "Now, Joseph," he says in a light tone, "which seat would you like to go into trance to? The chaise lounge or the easy chair?" "Personally, I recommend the chaise lounge," he adds with a slight bend of a smile. "Chaise lounge, please," he responds, seemingly confused by the question. "Good choice. It's always been my favourite as well." Dominic motions to the chair and settles himself onto the chaise lounge. "Now just relax back, Joseph." Dominic's gentle words still hold a touch of resonance to them, but thankfully they don't seem to penetrate me as much. "Now, Joseph, when you're ready to go into trance, I will take you through a brief session that will take you back in time to when your problems began, to get a sense of how we might help improve things. Is that okay with you?"
Yes, sir."
Nerves echo through the young boy's voice, and I can most definitely sympathize with him and how he must be feeling with the weight of the situation on his shoulders. "Good, Joseph. So when you're ready, take a nice deep breath." Hearing Dominic's words instantly have me fighting my instincts not to take a deep breath or sink into that trance again. I'm here for Joseph, not for me. And certainly not for Dominic. As Joseph drifts into a trance, all the tension that had been present a few minutes ago vanishes. Amazed at how quickly he seems to relax, I allow myself to loosen up and unwind just a little. Maybe Dominic isn't always about getting women to orgasm at the sound of his voice. Now, in your mind, imagine a line stretching out. A straight line. And it can be any size. It can be up and down, left to right, backwards and forwards. It really doesn't matter. Now notice what color that line is. Notice how wide that line is. Notice anything else about that line that might make it different from any other line. Joseph sighs gently in his relaxation. Imagine that you can get on that line, Joseph. Somewhere near the middle, you find yourself standing on the line. As you are standing on the line, imagine that the line is stretching out from past to present to future. Notice which direction is the past and which direction is the future. And you are standing on the point that represents the present. The ends of the line may be fuzzy or sharp. Far away or near. It's really not important. What matters is that you can move along that line. And you can turn yourself so that when you are standing on the line, your past is behind you
and the future is in front of you. Dominic stops speaking for a short moment, then continues. Take a moment to notice how that feels, and maybe it will take a few moments for the line to line up that way. And that's okay too. Then when you're ready, turns that you are looking along that line back to the past. Notice how that feels. And maybe there is a word that describes whatever it is that you sense, feel or see as you look along that line into the past. Joseph takes a deep breath. I wonder what that word is. Say what that word is now, Joseph.
Fear.
Joseph whispers almost inaudibly. You're doing perfectly, Joseph. Now in a moment I want you to fly straight up from the line so that you can see the whole line stretched underneath you. And then I want you to look back until you see a time before the fear. Can you do that, Joseph? He nods gently. You're doing so well. Now fly up, Joseph, until you can see the whole line stretched out beneath you. Now can you see that place before the fear? Another gentle nod. Excellent, Joseph. Now fly to that spot. Fly to that place on the line. Do it now. Notice what color it is. Notice any sounds. I want you to remember those and save them for later. After a short moment of silence, Dominic says, Now, I want you to describe exactly what you see.
My mama, she's chasing a chicken with Rosa. It's escaped in the road and we need it for eggs.
Very good, Joseph. Who is Rosa?
She's my little sister. She's 5.
Fantastic. Can you tell me what you are doing at this moment?
I'm laughing with my friends.
That beautiful smile of his spreads across his face, lighting up the whole room. I can't help but smile in response. Excellent. Please tell me what happens next.
The policeman, he comes. He shouts at my mama, hitting her, telling her she's stealing the chicken. It's our chicken.
Slowly, I feel the sting of tears in my eyes. And what happens next?
He drags my mama into our house. She's screaming. Rosa runs in, but I can't get to the house.
Why can't you get to the house, Joseph?
The other policeman, he is holding me.
What happens next?
My mama, she's screaming, no, no. Then a gun is shot. Rosa runs out crying. The policeman runs out and tells her to stop. She runs as fast as she can. I shout to her not to run.
Why are you telling her not to run?
The police, they shoot you if you run. Everyone knows this.
What happens next?
He shoots Rosa. She falls into the road. Dead.
Tears stream down my cheeks unchecked as I watch him relive his pain. Okay, Joseph, that's very good. Now that colour you remembered earlier, can you remember it?
Yes.
Perfect. I want you to imagine that colour flooding all over that scene, as if someone just painted it over everything. Somehow the tension that had become apparent in Joseph's little body seems to vanish, almost as if it was never there. Now in a moment, I want you to fly up again high above the line and fly to the next place of fear. Can you do this?
Yes.
Great. Fly up now, Joseph, high up into the air. Fly to that place on the line. Tell me what you see, Joseph.
Prison bars. I'm in prison. I hurt badly.
Why are you in prison, Joseph?
I stole some bread. I was so hungry. Hadn't eaten in days.
Okay. Why do you hurt so bad, Joseph?
The policemen, they hit me.
They hurt me in horrible ways. Tears gently drip down his cheeks. My eyes are becoming sore from crying. How does the world let this happen to a child? Okay, Joseph, I want you to paint that color over this scene now. Joseph sighs, and almost immediately, his tears subside. My own are quite another matter. Joseph, tell me what happens next. A man comes. He's in a suit. He's American. He says, there's work for me in America. He will get me out of prison.
Do you go with him, Joseph?
Yes.
What work does he get you to do, Joseph?
I shoot people. Bad people, they tell me to. I please other men. They make me do things.
Joseph's tears return, while mine become a torrent down my cheeks, the tension in my chest growing and tightening. With every tragic word he utters, God, the pain this boy has suffered. It's just unimaginable, inconceivable. To think we almost sent him to prison. Joseph, can you see their faces?
No.
What do they do, Joseph?
They want me to touch them. They bend me over. One man, he burns me on my ass. He says I am branded, I am his toy.
Okay, Joseph. I want you to paint this scene with that color again. Notice how much better it feels. His tears stop as his face relaxes. Now, in a moment, I will bring you back to the room, Joseph. Realizing this is the end of the session, I quickly dig into my purse, searching for a pack of tissues I know is in there somewhere. I don't want Joseph to see me like this. As he comes back to, he looks drained, and Dominic hands him a tissue. Take a moment to come round. You've done extremely well today, Joseph. I'm very proud of you. I catch Dominic's eyes. Their blue has softened, although I can't tell if he's been crying. That mask covers so much. Joseph, there was something you mentioned while you were in your trance. Being branded. Can you show that to me and Diane, please? Flushed with embarrassment, Joseph rolls over and pulls his sweat plants down to below his spine. A clear circular scar glares angrily at us, as if it could have been made with a coin. As Joseph comes round fully, he asks if he can go back to his room to sleep, and with a gentle nod, Dominic guides him through the door. I've heard that same story a lot over the past few months, Dominic says firmly. Young boys in third world countries being saved from prison, only to be brought here for violent crime and prostitution. This is the world of the sheep. His gaze hardens as if a hatred burns inside. For the very first time, he actually looks angry. This is serious, Dominic. Confused and sickened, nausea stirs through my belly. This is sex trafficking, amongst all sorts of other things. We need to involve the authorities. And then what happens, Miss Hightower? They take my kids. That's what happens. Each and every one will be in prison as soon as the FBI has finished with them. Then they will spit them out, just like everyone else has. I refuse to let these young children be raped by the system any longer. His tone is firm with resolve. There is no negotiation. Pure rage flashes behind his eyes. And as for you, Ms. Hightower, if the FBI comes in, how long do you think your temporary suspension from normal duties will last? If you call in the FBI, they will come stomping all over this. CNE will be shut down. No doubt there are some people high up in the sheep state that are involved. So don't think they won't make me and you their sacrificial lambs. And the children? My God, their lives will be over the minute you make the call. No, Miss Hightower, we must find another way. For all of our sakes. And when we are ready, then we can involve the FBI.
For some reason, watching the angry passion fire through this man fuels my own desires deeper. The lust I feel inside aches through every muscle. God, I can't remember being so turned on by watching a man get angry. We take our time and we think, Ms. Hightower. His tone rings determined, forceful, and threatening every resistance I have for him as I shift my legs underneath me. But for now, kitten, 7 p.m. my place. Jesus, how close can I get to an orgasm without it actually happening? This is driving me crazy, and it is only my first day. I smile, feeling dazed and aroused, and manage a feeble, "Yes, sir," glancing at the clock that reads only 4 p.m. Shit, 3 more hours to go. Tonight, I know like I know the sky will turn dark. There is a storm coming, and it will be fierce. Now, on Friday, we have a listener request. That's right, a listener's fantasy, and you know you can submit your own fantasies, your own stories, your own desires for me to read on the podcast. You can either email me at devlin@wilddesires.com or go ahead and visit wildinbed.com and submit your fantasy to be read on this podcast. But for now, and on Sunday, I'm interviewing 2 hot wives, which is a podcast dedicated to women, created by women, so women can discover their sexual desires. But for now, and always with your pleasure in mind, this is Devlin Wild, wishing you salacious dreams. Now, as you have enjoyed this show this evening, you can go ahead and subscribe to my podcast so you don't miss another salacious episode. And you know you can go ahead and visit me at wilddesires.com and grab your own free experiential erotic story just for coming.